Hello there.
Hello there.
And welcome to What If Qui-Gon Didn't Die? My name's Jamie.
And I'm Sean.
And in this week's episode, we're going to be asking a question. We're going to be asking, what if the clones disobeyed Order 66? Deep breath.
Deep breath.
Send in the clone!
Here we go.
Shawnee, what is Order 66?
So, Order 66 is a code which has been embedded in the clones to kill all Jedi.
Okay. Yeah.
And how they did that was, I might be a bit wrong here because it's been a little while since I've watched stuff. There's a little chip inside of every clone that is made from Jango Fett's DNA.
Yes.
Bounty hunter Jango Fett, who was apparently a Mandalorian and all these other things. So this chip in their brain, when they hear Execute Order 66, they then turn on the Jedi.
Bit like a Derren Brown mind trick.
Yeah, almost. It's like it's like a sleeper agent or indoctrination.
Yeah.
So when they hear the code word, they then do it because they all follow orders anyway.
Mm.
So when the orders are, kill the Jedi. So what this means is for film viewers is obviously when Cody got the message from the Emperor on his little handheld thing. Cody's actually really cool, by the way. You know, even all the clones look the same. They're all different. But they then start shooting it, Obi-Wan, and he sort of goes, oh, what are they doing?
Yeah, and then
sort of, because he's obviously after Grievous, so he doesn't think too much on it. However, if you watch the Clone Wars, it's a lot more serious because there are battalions of these guys and they literally just flip. And they could be in the middle of a war zone and their Jedi generals are around them helping them fight and then they just stop and just shoot them. And you can't defend against that many lasers. I mean, it's weird because the clones are supposed to be like SAS in our sort of vibes, but they're still just like common soldiers with a little bit of plastic armour.
Slightly better aiming than a stormtrooper, though.
Yeah. Depends where you watch, because they're either like the best shots you'll ever see, or everything still has plot armour. So even a clone trooper, which is supposed to be specialist, ain't really that special. But anyway.
It just reminds me of that line from Old Ben, when he says about the Jawas being killed.
Yeah.
Too accurate. Must be stormtroopers.
Paraphrasing. But what he means are they're just soldiers, doesn't he? Soldiers shot these. They've got a chip in their head. So when they hear Execute Order 66, they then turn on the Jedi. This could be anybody. We have to remember that during the actual Clone Wars, most of the clones were put into battalions.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were given a Jedi general. Because back then, even though the Jedi wanted peace and they wanted to, fighting wasn't really their thing. They were sort of like peacekeepers, weren't they? Keepers of the peace.
Which is quite, yeah, we'll come back to this because...
Yeah, you can't really keep the peace without being violent to show authority and all this other stuff.
Hmm.
Anyway, so they join and they fight. And then, so what happens was, depending on where your Jedi general was, when you got the order through your little comlink in your helmet, you would then turn guns on your Jedi.
Hmm.
Not the Sith, because Palpatine don't get killed. Vader don't get killed. War Anakin, rather. So when he marches on the Jedi Temple, he's got his 501st with him.
That's right, yeah.
But this is because they don't view him as a Jedi anymore. Or there might be something written into the code, which means...
Well, he's protected, isn't he, by the Emperor.
By the Emperor. So there's something in the code in there. Now, canon-wise, the Clone Force 99, which is the Bad Batch.
Okay, yep.
Because they are defective clones. Okay, now there's a whole series of defective clones. And these clones have different traits than... Because obviously every clone is a clone.
Yeah.
Obviously. A bit tongue-tying. But these clones aren't clones because they're different clones. They have special sort of gifts like deformities, mutations.
Yeah.
You know, they're either too scrawny, too intelligent.
Like when you get subpar chocolate from a chocolate factory.
Yeah.
It's still chocolate.
But it's not.
But maybe it's a bit melty in one corner.
Yeah. Well, but the Bad Batch are obviously really good at what they do.
Yes.
So they, instead of having lesser skills, the skills that their mutations have just excelled them in certain areas. Now, they ain't got chip, or they have got a chip, but it doesn't work. Can't quite remember. I know one of them has a chip, and he does actually turn. But it's a fight in them. Oh, they do have a chip, actually, but it's easier to... They find it easier to not listen to the orders.
Oh, okay.
Because they're not normal clones. They haven't got that indoctrination of just following orders all the time. Anyway, they get their chips taken out. So then they sort of see what's going on, and they can go, oh, my goodness me. Look at these clones killing people for no reason. They've heard some old dude tell them, Order 66. But some of the clones can have their chips removed, as we see, spoiler alert, in the Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So it's difficult because the ones that have their chips removed, they are going to follow orders.
Yes.
The only thing that helps them is there's somebody there and they've helped him to resist, like Captain Rex. He resists the order, and then obviously a medical droid takes the chip out, and he sort of wakes up and goes, "Oh my god, what was I about to do then? I'm supposed to be a soldier,
yeah,
a good soldier. I wouldn't just be killing Ahsoka Tano, who's 14 years old, you know, because she's a Jedi. Sense, yeah. I've got to kill her." And then obviously all the other clones go into the temple and kill all the younglings with Anakin. Because you're telling me Anakin goes into that room on his own and deals with them. There must be thousands of younglings running around.
Yeah, but so, he seems to get some sort of joy from it, didn't he?
It was
like sport, but not really.
Not really sport.
Fishing a barrel in it.
Yeah. So, but you can guarantee the clones have killed children as well at that point.
Yeah.
Even though they're not really killers like that.
It becomes quite dark when you sort of get to that sort of stage, doesn't it?
Yeah, when they're killing kids with guns. Because they're Jedi.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Emperor's put a chip in their thing. But this goes all the way back to the Emperor getting hold of the... I think it's the Emperor. Was it Cypher Diaz who actually ordered the clones to be made?
Cypher Diaz, he was the... When Obi-Wan goes...
It's his name on the log, isn't it?
It's his name, yeah.
And Obi-Wan wants to find out who he is. Because he doesn't know who Cypher Diaz is
He doesn't appear anywhere, does he?
Yeah, he's just like a myth, a legend.
Like a shadow.
Mm. But then the Emperor somehow gets hold of it all and changes the... Because they've got an inhibitor chip in there anyway.
Yeah.
But I think the Emperor gets on board and then he sort of changes it to that. Now, your question is, what if the clones didn't act on Order 66?
Yeah, what would change? So just to bring this back a little bit... So as a film watcher, unless for Clone Wars, when we watch that scene, we just see all these clones turn, but we don't see the depths of it like you've seen in the animated series.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting to hear from your point of view, from what you've seen and what you've learned, actually how bad it is. All we know is they get told, Order 66, they kind of stop what they're doing, turn around, and start... fighting the Jedi, and we see the struggle.
Yeah.
But we don't actually know what happens really past that, other than the fact that some managed to escape.
Yep.
So it's quite interesting to hear sort of how that progresses. We obviously know that later on, Obi-Wan escapes.
Yep, and so does Yoda.
And Yoda escapes, and that's what we know. We know some of the other Jedi, they die from different means, but it's...
It's the same cause, though.
Yeah.
As to when they died. And even Ahsoka, because obviously she's part of Rebels. However, she was in Order 66. And there's and it's so hard as well, because you've got, in Rebels, you've got Caleb.
Yeah.
Caleb Jarrus or something like that. He's such a great character, and I can't remember his name. His master and he, because he was her Padawan,
mm-hmm.
were fighting with the clones. And then at that moment, they got Order 66. He's only a youngling, sort of Padawan, you know, almost little mini Anakin with his little rat's tail Padawan beads hanging down. Same age. And you think he then watches his parent figure in front of him get gunned down.
Mm.
She obviously tries to defend herself. Jedi are good, but you're telling me
Yeah, you can't, can you?
You can't form a gun from every angle, I'm sorry. And then he watches her get killed, runs off, runs into the Bad Batch. So it's a bit of a spoiler of sort of an episode here. And then he is so terrified that these clones are then just going to kill him.
Hmm.
That they have to, you know, tell him to run. And that's a young kid. He's been ripped away from home because he's got midichlorians in him.
Yeah.
He's been put with a Jedi, who he's then seen killed by people that he's been hanging around with for years. Mentally.
Yeah, just, that's a lot of head noise, isn't it?
Just, as well for somebody younger than, say, my or age.
Hmm.
You know, we might be able to deal with that a bit differently. But a young child seeing that in front of them, and I know it's science fiction and, you know, all of that, but...
Yeah, let's not get bogged down by unbelievable stories.
Yeah, this is it. Yeah, it's not a soap opera. But yeah, and then for him to run off and try and build a life for himself after, all of the consequences of them actually following the orders it's upsetting. Because you think, Ahsoka, yeah, she had to be marched through all of these clones. So Captain Rex fought it, had his chip changed. Sorry, yeah, this is all a big spoiler for most people. And then he has to walk her through a company of clones who actually want to kill her. And he has to persuade them that he has to take Ahsoka to Vader or Anakin or the Emperor.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, no, our orders are to kill her. Good soldiers follow orders. Like, literally, down the line.
I mean, that's impressive if he's managed to convince them otherwise, because...
Well, he was their commander.
Yeah.
So he's sort of going, well, I am your commander, but, you know, the Emperor wants Ahsoka alive. And they, you know, it's all... And it's really tense. And you think, this is a kiddie's cartoon. But actually, how dangerous is that situation? Yeah.
In conversations we've had in the past, you've always said, there's parts of Clone Wars, Rebels... Bad Batch, it becomes really dark. Like, it is animated.
Yeah.
It should be for kids. It looks like it's for kids, but actually...
Some of the themes in there are very adult.
Like, when we watch that film, it happens. Order 66 is sort of passed, and then we see a bit of fighting, but nobody's walking away going, I'm emotionally scarred from this whole thing.
Yeah.
As a viewer, you don't suddenly break down crying because you think... Oh, there's some hardship here. You just kind of go, oh, yeah, of course that was going to happen because the Emperor's a baddie.
Yeah.
And he's made it this way, and now the Jedi are going to fight. And this is how the Jedi are essentially defeated.
Yeah, because in the film, you see Anakin more, don't you? So you see him walk down the hallway of the temple.
Yeah, towards the younglings.
And he's got his clones. But apart, and you know, you don't see the aftermath.
No.
Because it's more focused on Anakin... fighting.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan, it's more based on Padme giving birth to the kids, Yoda and Obi running away, Anakin getting revived by the Emperor, and then you sort of gone, oh, yeah, something happened with the clones, and now they're just gone.
It's they're like, gone, yeah, they just disappeared,
don't
they?
It's just plot armor, they've disappeared now, even though they haven't. They're still around for ages, just hidden in the background.
Yeah.
Because, of course, when we go to episode 4,
it's on Tatooine, isn't it?
They're already stormtroopers, and any clone troopers, obviously, because like we've said before, episode 4 was written so long ago, you can't add stuff to something that was made so long ago.
Yeah.
So clones would have been around on Tatooine. They would have looked like rabshackled old hermits, almost looking a bit like Ben Kenobi, living as vagrants in the town because they can't get no jobs. Their aging process means they age too quick.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So they would be all really old men by the time Luke's sort of ready to go.
What is it, 14 years? Obi-Wan fleeing and then starting.
Have I just made that number up? Depends how old Luke is. All depends how old Luke is in episode 4.
Well, he's supposed to be about 14, 15, 16, something like that, isn't he?
So in that time, the clones would have gone from...
Probably 30 years old, equivalent.
Between 30 and 40, you know, to they would already be grey-bearded, old, like, feeling it, because they can't stop ageing quick enough.
Mm.
And this is also touched on in Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
You know, when he meets the old clone outside, I forget his name, but Yeah, and in Rebels this is touched on as well. Because Rebels ain't that far after. Because Ahsoka's still quite young.
Mm.
And yet Rex and Gregor are old men.
Yeah, yeah.
They are old men. But yeah, so they're gone in the films, aren't they? Really?
Yeah, but we don't...
You don't see them in episode 4, 5 or 6. No, they're not mentioned.
There's nobody specifically hunting the Jedi anymore.
Yeah.
That sort of... It all seems to have been forgotten and...
But that's because though Palpatine's one, isn't he? And because they age so quick and because they've done their job and there should be no Jedi left, Palpatine and Vader more or less think that there's no Jedi. Obviously, they know that Ben Kenobi's still alive when he feels him on the ship.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But by that point, it's all stormtroopers on the ship.
Yeah, and it's too late anyway.
It's too late. And if there was any clone troopers and they realised that Ben wasn't just a hermit walking around and he was actually a Jedi... Vader would have told him to not shoot him anyway.
Yeah, probably not.
Well, yeah.
He'd want to fight himself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he'd be like, don't shoot him, he's mine.
Yeah.
And they would probably still follow orders. If he goes, oh, he's a Jedi, they'd go, oh, better shoot him. Oh, dear. So the consequences are dire of them taking orders.
Yes.
But then if they did not take the orders, say they were all able to have sort of an internal willpower battle, you know, sort of anime styles,
yeah,
from like Dragon Ball Z or something, and they all went, oh, actually, no, I don't actually want to do that. I've been hanging around with this person for years. Don't want to shoot him.
Yeah, I like this person.
Yeah,
we get on really well.
The chip fries in their head,
steams up as they
steams up. Little thing pops out of their neck as they all simultaneously go, I'm not listening to that order.
Yeah.
Even though I am a good soldier that follows orders. It would be difficult then because the Jedi would know what Palpatine's done.
Mm.
And they would very quickly figure out that he is the big bad behind all of it.
Yes.
And I don't know, do you think they would go to Coruscant and just storm? They would take every clone they've got and storm the temple to take on Palpatine. He'd have to worm his way out of it somehow.
And I'm sure he'd find a way because he is very clever like that.
Yeah.
I think he would know that the order hadn't worked because he's with
clones. There's clones in the temple. There's clones on Coruscant. They become like embedded in every sort of aspect of the Republic, don't they?
So he would know if he ordered, you know, if he issued the command for Order 66 and there was no chaos across the street from where he sat, that something hadn't worked.
Yeah.
And at that point, he's smart enough to go, they're going to be onto me.
I need to get out of here.
Something's going to happen because one of those clones or multiples of those clones are going to be like, I've just had an Order 66, but I'm not listening to that. Yeah. And they're telling that to the Jedi general that's with them. And so then Palpatine knows, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
Let's go and get into the shadowy realms and...
And lick my wounds
until
I can think of a new plan.
So with that being said, so Anakin at that point, he's already
turned, hasn't he, at that point? Because he's ready to follow Order 66 to sort of go to the temple and do the bad stuff.
Yeah. So there would be no difference to him necessarily, other than the fact that Palpatine doesn't win that round, so to speak.
Yeah.
So then he's looking at what would be a weakened master. So would he then take his orders from him in the same seriousness that he does because he's got control? Because at that moment, Palpatine is like, he orders it, the Jedi fall, and Palpatine takes everything. He is in charge. Nothing can stop him. He is almighty.
Mm.
Anakin looks to him and goes...
He wasn't lying about that power.
No.
Basically, yeah.
And so, therefore, blindly follows him because he knows, one, even if he did have doubts, he's really got no choice at this point because he's committed to that path.
Yeah.
But secondly, there's no point in resisting it because if he resists it, those clones turn on him and it's game over.
It would take 2 seconds for him to turn around and just shoot him dead.
Yeah, as strong and as arrogant as he is.
Yeah. He would not be able to last all of them blasters in him once.
Exactly. So, if Order 66 didn't work, there is a good chance that maybe Anakin would still, despite the fact he's turned, would perhaps take advantage of a weakened master and then take Palpatine himself.
Mm. Yeah, perhaps. Try and take the power.
Yeah.
Because even if Order 66 didn't work, Anakin could still be bad, take Palpatine's power, take it for himself, and then he could potentially go to the Jedi Temple anyway. And he could lie to the clones and say, look, the Jedi are turning on us.
Yeah.
We need to keep the peace and quell them. And then the clones would go, well, to be fair, maybe that's all they needed to say instead of trying to indoctrinate us, you know. But maybe the same thing would happen, but maybe at a later date. Maybe the clones, the new batch of clones, because they're making clones all the time up until that point.
Yeah.
Maybe the new batch of clones would be more indoctrinated. They wouldn't need a chip. It would just be, you do whatever Anakin says.
Yeah.
And I mean whatever he says. And yeah. They go, oh, yep, good soul, just follow orders. Right, kill them old clones.
Yeah.
And then come with me to kill the Jedi.
Yeah, it could
and the younglings.
It could be exactly like that, or it could just be that later down the line, like maybe he kills Big Daddy Palps by himself, assumes control and power. The Jedi is still alive, then goes back to the Jedi and goes, "I killed him.
Can I get master now?
Yeah, I've saved the galaxy." But remembering that he's turned, he's actually on the dark side, and this is just an insidious way of him actually infiltrating
the Jedi Order.
Like Palpatine infiltrates the Senate to assume control. Slowly but surely, big game plan. He just takes power little bit at a time.
Yeah.
Until he's got all of it. Anakin could possibly do the same, but with the Jedi.
And is he smart enough though?
I don't think so. The reality is, I think he's at that point, he's too young and stupid. He's just arrogant and he would make brash decisions.
Yeah.
But
in the future, maybe.
If he was smart and he'd watched Palpatine, he knows Palpatine's journey because he meets him at the start.
Mm.
He knows he's a governor to start, isn't he?
Yes.
And then he becomes senator.
Yeah.
And he's watching him take this power bit by bit. If he was smart, he would say, do you know what? He had the right idea. He didn't execute it just right. Something went wrong. I'm not going to make that same mistake. I'm going to wait.
Bide my time.
Yeah, watch. Get the trust of the Jedi. They'll make me a master.
Which is what he wanted anyway.
Even though I've got orange eyes.
Yeah.
And then when it's time, I'll take control.
I'll kill Yoda.
Yeah, because he'll have ascended from master to then be on the Jedi Council. He'll be sat in that room, and then one by one, he might pick them off until he is in Yoda's seat. I mean, he's too big for Yoda's seat.
Yeah.
But
well, I know what you mean, though.
Taking the throne, and with that, having control of the rest of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Making a Jedi army.
Yeah.
Instead of, because those Jedi, they're peacekeepers, like we say, which is kind of contradictory when you consider they're also generals in an army, because that's...
Yeah, and they're using their swords to kill people.
Yeah, it feels like it's not right. They shouldn't really be there.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be involved. They should just be like, there's some unrest on the streets here. Let's go and get everybody back in their homes and settle down. But yeah, he maybe can then turn it into a Jedi army and then from there take control, because as the person in power, who's more powerful than a Jedi army?
Yeah.
You send in one Jedi and that can turn the tide on any fight.
Mm.
You send in an army of Jedi and there's no way you're going to get through that.
And I just had a thought as well, because he could literally play the, I am the prophesied son.
Yeah.
You know, and then it wouldn't matter what the clones did, because like you say, if he had the power and he was playing the card of I'm the prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And then like you say, whether the Jedi died or not, they're still then working to... I mean, there might be a little Jedi rebellion.
Well, if you think of the grey Jedi that would exist,
yeah,
they would still be...
The Qui-Gons, as it were,
of our
story here.
I would say those pure Jedi, that all think that they are good. I think they would actually be the first to obey Anakin because they're so blinded by the faith of, oh, Master Yoda said, or someone said, he's the chosen one. He is the one who's going to bring balance and peace.
Yeah.
He must have a plan. Let's follow him.
Yeah.
Those grey, those outliers, those grey Jedi, those like the Qui-Gons. Yeah, those Ronin. They see things differently and perhaps go, hang on, he's amassed an army here and he's just taken over that planet there.
Yeah.
Or he's taken over there. Or he's stormed the Senate.
Yeah.
Quietly stormed it. You know, he's infiltrating. He's in control. Why is he taking control of so much stuff?
Yeah.
That's not balanced.
And why is he getting into politics when he's supposed to be a Jedi?
Yeah. Then you could still have a rebellion. You could still have the rebels versus what would now be the Jedi Empire.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, yeah.
This is what I love about this podcast.
Yeah. We haven't even talked... Like, don't matter what the clones did.
Yeah.
As long as Anakin was a badass.
we start off with a question and then... And no preparation. Like, yeah. We thought, what question we're going to ask? What we're going to work out? It was about 20 seconds before we hit record.
Yeah.
And then you just come up with this whole storyline, this whole arc that appears out of nowhere, unfolds in front of us as it has appeared in your ears. That's how these things work. And I really enjoy how free-flowing these can be.
I just love the idea of it. Anakin stood in the council chambers.
Yeah.
You know, because... No, Mace isn't dead by that point when Order 66 is given, is it?
No, he's not because... Mace knows Order 66 has happened, doesn't he? Or he knows something's not right, and he suspects Palpatine of it.
Yeah.
And he goes to confront him.
But Anakin's already there.
And it's very suspicious.
And then he dies.
Yeah. After he thinks he's going to win, then he's actually also very arrogant, and that's what loses
the battle.
That's why he is swiftly defenestrated.
Because it's so funny in the films, because after Cody shot at Obi-Wan, just treading it back a little bit, back to the clones. Like you say, we don't really see any more clones after that, do we?
No.
So it's very hard to understand from a film viewer's only perspective of what difference it made.
Mm.
Because all we see is, you know, Cody shoots at Obi-Wan, Anakin storms the temple. We know the Jedi are dead because of what he did. The atrocity of the younglings.
Yes.
So you just go, oh, well, that's a bit of crap. The clones of Altana can be a bad guy. He's committed kiddie murders. You know, the youngling massacre moves. But after that, we don't see them. And I think it's a shame for the film viewers because you don't see the human element of the clones.
No.
That much. And you don't realise what they went through. Because after that, they got discarded anyway because the stormtroopers came in and all of the, like, thousands of clones were made and they were everywhere across the Empire and then they were just left to rot or collected up and experimented on.
It's interesting as well because, like you say, they're all the same.
But they all have their own personality. Yeah.
So when they've completed their mission, they are just people again.
Yeah.
Once there's no use for them, or maybe once they get to a certain age and the Emperor goes, you know, this army's too old. We need to now develop a new army. Stormtroopers come in with their specific training regime and whatever. Those clones are just back to being people. They look the same as each other, sure, but they are different.
They're individuals.
Yeah, and they've now got to find a way. And like you say, they probably would be homeless and vagabond type, sort of going village to village, town to town, looking for scraps, looking for bits of work.
Gun for hire, maybe, you know. Yeah. And it's hard because they would just be dumped. They maybe work some security for a little bit.
But a question for you, just before we sort of carry on there, would you trust a clone, knowing that if one little phrase could snap them out of whatever they're doing right then and there, and change their mission completely? If somebody's got a trigger word, are they trustworthy? It's not their fault.
But this is true, yeah.
So why would you take on someone who you would think
may turn on you.
Yeah, what if somebody's got, if he's got a code word, somebody whispers it in his ear, and all of a sudden...
he's shooting me.
Yeah.
I think that, yeah, because also the clones didn't know about it.
Well, no, they couldn't know about it because they're, like you say, sleeper cells, aren't they? They
indoctrinated, yeah. You know. But also, oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, but this is why they'd be vagabonds.
Mm.
And they are. Because nobody wants them to work.
Yeah.
Because they're worried. Nobody appreciates them anymore because obviously the normal people of the galaxy loved them.
Yes.
You know. And then when they turned on the Jedi, the galaxy's peacekeepers, the clones are made out to be the bad guy, not the Emperor.
No.
Because obviously the normal people didn't see the little hologram laughing in the background. They just saw the clones shooting Jedi and not finishing the wars that they started.
Mm.
You know, they didn't, you know, they could be halfway through helping a village fight off some raiders or something. And they go, nope, down guns, because we've got to kill that. Then we're going, see ya, pounce on us back.
Yeah.
And they just go, oh, them clones are abandoned. Useless. They've abandoned us. So nobody would want them around. And then it would literally be like one of those, I can't even explain it, you know, like soldiers who came back. And it's, you know, in real life, soldiers that come back home and they've got no skills because these 14-year-old lads went off to war and they come home after World War One and Two, and all they know is war and how to use a gun. You know, they haven't got a skill. They didn't go to school because they ran off to the army. So when they come back home, they go, well, what are you going to do now for money? And they go, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, wouldn't think
I don't even
it.
Know how to write my name.
Didn't expect to come back home, so...
Yeah. So, and it's probably, I don't know, science fiction, and that was a sort of real life sort of way there, but it's the same thing, isn't it? What would they do?
Yeah.
They've grown up in a lab, been taught to fight, fought for most of their sort of enhanced life, and then when they're given the boot, they're like, oh, I did a terrible thing there. I killed a friend, but I had no control over myself. So now not only am I depressed and I feel, you know, savaged and gutted because some bloke used me, I now also don't have the skills to get a job.
Turning this into super dark for just a second.
Okay.
How many of those clones do you think got, when they finished their duty, looked at what they did and just ended it for themselves, just then and there went, nope, there's nothing for me here? Do you reckon it's a high percentage, or do you think it would be something that they were indoctrinated against doing?
Probably.
So they wouldn't have the capacity to kill themselves, because mentally they're not quite the same, are they? So
yeah,
they're more narrow-minded, that this is your job, this is what you do, you follow these orders. Then somebody switches something, now you follow this order, those orders are over, but actually you're too old to fight, you're out.
Mm.
No more orders, I don't know what to do with myself. And that's it. Because it's such a narrow band of information and brain power for them to have, there's no real... they can't suddenly think, right, well, I'll go and learn a new skill. Because they don't have an order to go and learn it or to do something. They just go, right, well, I need to eat. So there's a womp rat. I'm going to eat that.
I don't know. I think there is evidence to show, and there is a couple of episodes, that clones can form a life and have kids.
Mm.
But I think you have to be very specific with your clone to do that. You know, and obviously they'd be haunted, like you say. They would be haunted by what they did.
Yeah.
You know, they would be very, very lucky if they were on a remote planet without a Jedi and they got the order and they'd go, well, there's no Jedi here.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just going to do whatever else I'm told to do.
Yeah, just continue doing what...
Yeah, but most, like I say, most battalions had a Jedi there, and that was the point. So some of them can have a family and stuff like that, but yeah, they would be depressed, and I don't know about the end in it themselves, because like you say, they would probably be indoctrinated to just keep fighting.
Yeah, keep going till the end.
You know, and even if they get depressed or they get PTSD, they still want to be fighters.
Yeah, so, they won't give up.
So I don't know if they would end it. Maybe they would do something reckless with the thought of, well, if I die doing this,
if they could justify it in their head as being a cause.
Yeah, or like some weird honourable death.
Yeah.
You know, like, I was fighting this enemy and I'm going to die. Mm. What have you taken your armour off for? Because I actually want to die.
Yeah.
But I need to go down fighting.
Yeah, I can't do it myself.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody has to pull the trigger for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's quite dark, isn't it? I mean, imagine the thousands and thousands of them who just go, oh, didn't really want to do that. I actually quite liked my Jedi friend. And
yeah.
Now I've battered them and I've actually strung up their little Padawan and burnt him alive.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Shocking, isn't it? This is probably the darkest episode we've done.
But you're not shown that because it's for kids.
Yeah, and that is it, isn't it? Like, yes, we're adults, you know, in our 30s.
Yeah.
Still. But we've grown up with Star Wars, and as kids we enjoyed it, and now as adults we still enjoy it. But all those new Star Wars films are always for the kids growing up.
The kids at the time.
So, yeah, you have to kind of keep it lighthearted.
Yeah.
To a degree, yes, there is death and murder and all these things, but it's all framed in a almost a family-friendly way, which is kind of an odd way to say it.
It's like a 12A viewing of a horror movie.
Yeah, I suppose,
It's just death after death after death, and aliens just more or less eating people or, you know, killing people, you know.
Yeah, it's...
Tusken Raiders kill people. They are, if they were in more scenes, obviously I know Book of Boba changed that, but say you had episode 4 and there was actually a little chunk about Tusken Raiders.
Yeah.
You would actually have mini nightmares about them as a kid because their vocalizations are weird.
Yeah, horrible, isn't it?
They're brutal.
Yeah.
And they don't even think twice about hitting somebody. And as a nipper, you're going, oh my God.
Like, and they're just in the cave next door.
Yeah, literally. And so that it's all wrapped in that sort of, like you said, family friendly sort of viewing. But actually, clone atrocities.
And then I was going to go back to something as well with a little phrase for you where you said it was not believable because it's, you know, science fiction. But a lot of science fiction comes from science fact.
Yeah. This is true.
And we've hit on this sort of stuff already with like the Ewoks.
Yeah.
You know, that potentially the story of the Ewoks can be traced back to physical, actual wars that have happened in the world.
Yeah.
The clones, yes, they're clones. We've never had clones. But the actions afterwards that we don't even see potentially could be as devastating as anybody who goes to war has to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah.
In some cases, maybe worse.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you think about what some of them did to entire planets of people.
Yeah.
You know, genocide.
You know, there's no Geneva Convention up in space, is there? So there's no, you know, anything goes if it's...
If you're ordered to do it.
Yeah.
You know, if they're attacking you and you think, oh, I've got to save this planet. I need to do this.
Yeah.
You know, even though this species here is native, I've got to kill it. Because you've got, you know, on the other hand, just quickly to diverge a little bit, Warhammer, right, they do Warhammer. They do these crusades and the Space Marines, which are kind of like clones. You know, they're all built like brickshit houses. And they've all got the same armor on. They all look the same, blah, blah, blah. They go to planets. And because it's called Grimdark, they basically exterminate all the native alien fauna to make way for humans.
Well, okay.
Because these aliens don't follow the Emperor's edicts, you know. He says he's not a god, but he kind of acts like one.
Yeah.
But what Star Wars is saying is they're not doing it because they're ruthless and it's horrible and it's dark, even though it is. They're just doing it because the aliens are fighting back, which is what you would do.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
They turn it into defense, don't they, rather than offense.
Than just offense, even though it's the same thing. They're just wiping planets out of life forms. Even though, unlike Warhammer, aliens exist in Star Wars and are actually part of teams and groups and
the
rest of it. They're very all integrated, and yet the clones are quite happy, if they're ordered to, wipe entire planets of life.
Yeah.
If they have to.
And then,
you know, humans and other aliens can move in and have their little families and stuff. And you just think, oh, hold on a minute. Because you're crossing the boundaries there of what's life worth keeping compared to what ain't. This has turned very dark. And this is why most of the clones probably do have PTSD. And it, when you see them in Obi-Wan and he's outside and he's slumped down, isn't he? Mm-hmm. That one guy. And Obi-Wan recognises him. And he looks old and haggard, like, definitely. That's the view I have of the clones.
See, it's interesting because of Obi-Wan, people who don't watch the animated stuff will then sort of go, if they've had questions about the clones and what happened to the clones afterwards, right there, it's just a nice little neat way to sort of tie it all up and go, well, actually, look, they're in trouble.
They're all buggered like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you get this sort of, watching the animated stuff, you kind of get a bit more of a journey, a transition from one to the other.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it's quite nice that, so it's not nice, but it's good that you can see in a series something that ties up another loose end.
Yeah, which is quite good because obviously some people only watch the live action stuff.
Yeah.
So for them to have that is quite good. You get a lot more in the animated stuff.
I think they've got more space to breathe with it. I think.
Oh yeah, yeah. And there's so much more they can do without time restraints, actors.
Mm.
You know, filming clone stuff must have been difficult.
No, oh, yeah.
At least, especially back then. You know, when because we haven't got the CGI we've got now.
Mm.
You know, but what another little thing I was thinking about is after Order 66, obviously in Rebels. Ahsoka and Ezra and all that sort of them lovely little bunch of rebels that you see in the Ahsoka series on the wall.
Yeah.
You know, the painted wall. They meet Rex and Gregor, okay? Now, I cannot remember for the life of me how that first interaction went. However, I would be interested to know whether Rex got all of the chips taken out of his boys to stop any indoctrination so they are free, or if after that, they literally had the feeling like you said before, they're worthless now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter whether he takes the chip out of them or not. Are they not going to do anything ever again? Because Gregor's busting for a fight. And I know Rex has had his chip taken out because he did try to resist it. This is another point I'll go into in a minute. Yeah, it's weird to think that they... Could they have literally moved on after doing it? Because then, like we said before, Anakin would just take over anyway. Regardless of what happened, Anakin's sort of dive into the evil orange-eyed-ness that he has, that would have still just flowed naturally anyway, regardless of whether the clones helped him or not. Because like you said, he would have had a plan in place. You know, he would have infiltrated. You know, Mace would die anyway.
Yeah.
Back to my main point for the main question.
Here we go. Circle back once again.
Circle back once again.
Round the roundabout.
What if the clones disobeyed Order 66? Captain Rex, the absolute legend of a man. All right. One of my favourite characters in the Clone Wars because he was just... He had so much screen time, you were allowed to love him.
Yeah.
All right. He was the main clone dude to you and me. He did try to resist. Now, he couldn't resist fully. So Ahsoka had to get his little chip taken out. Like I've said this before, and sort of towards the beginning of the episode, but she had to get his chip taken out. However, he did try to resist. And he struggled with it, but he knew Ahsoka was on his side, and his moral compass or his devotion to Ahsoka was so strong that he was able to fight off the indoctrination for them to take the chip out. So I don't think all of the clones would have had that willpower.
No.
Because that is very specific to him and his willpower to get it done.
And also his position.
Yeah.
As a captain, he's right there, isn't he? He's developing a relationship.
Yeah.
If you're clone Grunt,
Yeah.
You don't see the Jedi.
No, you're just in the back shooting your gun, aren't you?
If they walk past you, you look down.
Yeah. Or you just go, hello, Commander. No. Yeah, but they would, wouldn't they? Yeah. You're right. They would just be nobodies. They'd be like, oh.
There's no interaction. So for them, there's no personal relationship. So when they get told to turn, it's kind of like, well, I don't really care about you. I'm following you because it's an order.
Yeah, but and now I'm going to follow these orders now.
This order has superseded everything else, and I have no connection to this person. And that's probably why Order 66 works so well, is because 99% of those clones probably say less than two words to any of the Jedi because the orders come down the line.
Yeah, and the two words always are, yes, Commander.
Yeah, exactly.
And that is all they probably say.
Yeah, so you'll have your captains and your various ranks going down, but it's only those people right at the top. It's only those clones who are sort of right there in the heart of it.
Yeah.
That would have the ability to maybe use their willpower. And we see Captain Rex because he's
the best of them.
Yeah.
But then Cody was Obi-Wan's right-hand man. And he flipped straight away. So I think it just goes to show as well, and this is, again, we mentioned this nearly every episode, story writing.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Rex, but they don't love Cody as much.
Hmm.
But because of the film and Cody was the first one to switch, they had to sort of retcon it to make Cody also a really nice guy. But Rex is the guy.
Does Cody have the same sort of relationship with Obi-Wan as Rex does?
That's hard to define. Only because Obi-Wan and Anakin, back then, Rex was Anakin's clone commander.
Mm-hmm.
And Obi-Wan and Anakin would be going on adventures together.
Yeah.
So I don't know if Cody would have the same, because you don't see it as much. Because obviously the Clone Wars is more Anakin and Ahsoka and Rex, you know, and Obi-Wan's there. And then if they go to Mandalore and, you know, Darth Maul's there, blah, 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 blah. It's all very much, Cody's not a part of it.
Mm.
Yeah, I don't think he is as close to Obi-Wan as Rex is to, say, Anakin and Ahsoka. And
perhaps that's what it takes. Maybe it takes that, just a real bond. Not just a master commander and, you know,
maybe slight friendship. They'll shake hands, have a drink, but nothing much.
Yeah. They'll have a bond of trust, but that trust is really born from, you're a clone and you do what I say.
Yeah.
But not trust in, I believe that you are, regardless of being a clone or not, there to help.
Yeah.
So like Rex is probably seen that way and probably treated that way.
Oh, yeah. From Ahsoka and Anakin, absolutely.
Whereas Obi-Wan, as a master, probably doesn't really rely on Cody to be as strong or as he's not 50% of his battle, is he? He's just also there.
Yeah.
And he's kind of just the voice that heads down the line.
Down the ranks.
Yeah. So perhaps that relationship is not as strong, and therefore when it comes to the switch being flipped, actually there was no real chance.
It's not so bad. Yeah. Because Obi-Wan is very, he's a bit blunter than Anakin. He's not so emotional, is he?
No.
So Anakin wears his heart on his sleeve. He's very emotional. He's obviously got Ahsoka, who's 14. Still weird. Every time I say it. The Rex obviously forms a little bond with. Not like that, everybody. Just take a deep breath. All right. But yeah, he must have some sort of father figure feelings towards Ahsoka as well. Whereas Cody and Obi-Wan, like you say, they'll probably have a drink after work. But Obi-Wan's hanging around with Anakin, looking after him and Ahsoka, being granddaddy.
Yeah.
You know, Daddy Obi. Cody's just sort of like, yep, yeah, okay, Commander. And then he'll go home and he'll talk to Rex. But Rex is obviously, oh, Rex is so cool. Look at him hanging around with Anakin, the chosen one all the time.
But then, like you say, so even Rex struggled when the order came.
So
it's probably borderline.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it wasn't easy for him. Like, I think he actually did try and shoot Ahsoka.
So with that being said, I think that adds credence to this sort of theory that it's just the bond they built together was what saved him, and why Cody didn't.
Yeah.
Because that bond was, it would take years, it would take a lot of time together.
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan's just off zipping around everywhere. He's by himself on El Camino.
Yeah.
It's not called El Camino. But you know, he does all these solo missions where maybe Anakin and Ahsoka
take Rex. And normally in the Clone Wars, you'll see that they do take Rex.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's we only need four men, well, we'll take Rex. Because, you know, he's the grounding unit. He tells, he reminds us what we're fighting for.
Yeah.
Because we get caught, even though we're Jedi and we're supposed to keep peace, we get caught up in just backflips and action shots. You know? But it was so difficult. So for the clones to actually disobey Order 66, I think is just a tremendously out of scope idea.
Mm.
Just based on indoctrination and how they were made.
But yeah, so I think that's quite a neat way to sort of to say it then.
Yeah.
You know, they are just so...
They're just so wound up in their orders, aren't they?
Out of scope. Love it.
It's a shame. But then we wouldn't have Rebels and we wouldn't have Rex at the end of Clone Wars doing what he does. We wouldn't have the clones and the backlash of Bad Batch and how they realise that even... Literally, Order 66 has just happened.
Mm.
Just happened. You know, and they stumble on a facility and they're training random people to be stormtroopers. Right. And they're like, you're still making clones on Kamino, yet you're already training people to replace us.
Yeah.
Even though clones are still being made at this moment.
Head noise.
And then, and then, you know, Order 66 has happened. So what do you need the clones for now? Because the Jedi are all dead. Is what's Emperor planning? Nobody knows. We're all confused. We don't want to kill anybody. Yet, obviously, the chips on our heads are still trying to badger us to do stuff, even though, oh, man, like, absolute. But Palpatine knew all this.
But he also probably knew that he was going to have time, getting rid of the Jedi, to actually, if the clones were going to age too quickly...
Oh, he needed to get rid of
them. He'd be replacing them all the time, and that's expensive and costly.
Yeah.
It's great for what they needed at that moment, but actually stormtroopers aging at a normal rate are going to be there for
and 10, they need money.
20, 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the clones don't really need... They get money. I assume they get paid or something, but it won't be like, you need to support your family? Come and work for us then.
Yeah.
You know, we'll send the credits straight to your house. Because you're not leaving the Death Star.
You don't realise this, but actually, you are leaving the Death Star.
In a box.
At high speed.
Yeah.
Ejected.
Ejected from the fuse port. But yeah, this it's actually very dark, like we said before, to think about that these men are that grown, forced to grow up quickly, don't really have much of an education, apart from being a soldier. Simple maths in English, maybe. They're forced to fight, forced to kill their commanders, and then because they're aging so quickly, they're not good for anything after they've killed their Jedi masters.
No.
So they're hungry, moneyless, homeless, sad because their friends, if they formed a relationship with the Jedi, are gone. I am not surprised. Like Star Wars, it's just pure. Sort of almost galactic depression based on, you know, hundreds and thousands of clones just all at once being like, oh God, my life is horrendous. And, you know, Yoda should have felt that because Yoda, for all his flipping around, fighting Palpatine in the big Palladium or whatever it was, he could have gone, oh my God, this is bad.
Yeah.
Like, because he felt it when the Death Star, you know, destroyed Alderaan. He should have been able to feel that the clones across the whole thing, all not the clones killing the Jedi, not the Jedi dying, but the clones themselves just being instantly sucked in to this thing.
Yeah,
you think the Force would have
picked up on a sort of a and negative sort of
tapped
energy.
Him on the shoulder and been like, something bad's going on here, Yoda. Yeah. And he would have gone, oh, God, that doesn't feel very good. But don't worry, I'm going to go and have a tussle with Palps and do a couple of backflips.
Because
it's prequel era. Prequel me is angelic. But yeah, very difficult to think about because actually it goes from, what if they ignored the Order and all the Jedi lived? To, yeah, they've all got PTSD and depression now because they can't help but being actual murderers. They couldn't help it.
This is what I love this about this podcast. This is what I enjoy. We don't know how this is going to turn. We don't know what we're going to uncover.
No.
Or how we're going to mentally sort of decipher what we find as we go.
Yeah, yeah.
What we imagine would happen.
Or think to be true or anything like that, or how people act.
Sometimes things do just take a turn, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, should we leave it on that cheery note?
Let's leave it on that cheery note. As always, people, please get in touch if I've missed a point or there's something I've missed about, you know, Clone Wars or Bad Batch that you think's important. Feel free to get in touch and let me know, because I will mention it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, it's been a little while since I've watched all of them, you know, and it's hard to remember.
It's a lot to watch.
Yeah, it's a lot to watch. So if there's anything specific and you think I should mention it, please get in touch. All of our, you know, contacts are in the show notes.
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram as well.
Yep.
We are at WIQGDD. What if Qui-Gon didn't die? A nice little acronym to make it easy. That's on Instagram. Give us a follow. Send us a message. DM us. Leave us a voice note if you want. Do whatever you want to do. Send us a carrier pigeon if you like. Get in touch. We'd love to hear your opinion and we can share it. You know, we can talk about more stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. I say it every week, you know, and if I get a bit of timeline wrong or, you know, you think that I've got a name wrong or something, let me know.
He likes to be particular about these things.
I like to, yeah, and it's been so long since I've watched or done some proper research that just all the information flies into me, Ed, but I forget to, like, put it on my tongue properly. So, yeah, get in touch generally, you know.
If you've got any ideas about stuff you'd like us to talk about, if you've got a question and you think, oh, I'd love to hear what they think about this, then please do send that across. And also, at some point in the future, we may explore other films, other sagas, other franchises, individual films, whatever, and do the same sort of thing where we come up with a question and find an alternate timeline. Tell us what film you'd like us to dive into and see if we can find something.
Yeah, good shout, man.
Yeah, question to go with it.
Mm.
When you listen to this week's Carillion Chinwag, we do mention about The Matrix as being a sort of a film we might dive into at some point.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think it'd be a good little thing to jump into.
Mm.
Right. Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you, Shawnee.
An absolute pleasure, sir. Good soldiers follow orders. Good soldiers always follow orders.
So good. Right, look after yourself.
Be good.
And stay out of the sand.